Welcome back to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. And with me in the studio today, Laura Padgett, five-term Wilmington City Council person. Laura Padgett will end her 20-something years as a city council member with the conclusion of this term. And if you have a question for Laura Padgett, now's your chance to ask her. Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us using coastlinehqr. And Joe, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
This is, hello, Laura. This is Joe Dunton, your favorite entertainment officer.
Hi, Joe.
I feel like I'm
one day I'm going to see your lights on the river.
Yeah, I tell you, we'll get there one day.
Joe, wait, help us with this. Entertainment officer? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Laura, somebody explain this. Who are you, Joe?
I'm Joe Dunton. That's trying to help Wilmington be the exotic Monaco of the East Coast, but nobody seems to listen to me. Well, Laura does. That's why I phoned in, because Laura she can't. I'm sorry, but she can't make comments when we're discussing it at the council meetings. But I know that she's with me on it, really. But I will miss you, really.
Thank you.
I will miss you, and
I'll miss you.
Yeah, I found another idea for it. They in London, they've made a floating park. Would you believe, on the River Thames? So that's a really cool idea. You know, it's to actually make a new park that floats on our Cape Fear River. So
after they put up the Ferris wheel, I would believe it.
No, we can do that. I mean, it's theology. But there's that. As I say, I just wish you well.
Thank you.
You can't share personal thoughts about the river park.
Blue space instead of green space?
Yeah.
What do you think, Laura Padgett?
Well, Joe's talking about the parking deck project that we've embarked on. And Joe, I think that ship has sailed. Am I thrilled with what's going there? I think it has the potential to be attractive. I will always feel some regret that we were not able to have a smaller project.
Right.
And I think it will be too big.
Yeah.
It will be a significant economic generator downtown.
Yeah.
But I think we're going to lose the charm that
Absolutely.
I have tried to retain downtown, but I guess that's one of my regrets,
yeah,
is that the council as a group was not able to move forward on something appropriate over all these years since 1995, when we were first approached by PPD to put their headquarters there,
right,
and that didn't happen. But I think since then we have not been able, for various reasons, to put the right project there on the river. And while we have wonderful partners in East West to work with, it's not going to be the project,
yeah,
I would like to have seen.
What do we feel at the moment with the battleships now worrying me? That they're saying that battleships going to have damage that we've got to fund putting, and the battleships another big draw for Wilmington. It's crazy.
Oh, I don't. I think they're going to take care of the battleship.
Okay.
It's going to be a big expensive project, but I think the state is helping with that, and they're going to do that. The hull is rusted and I think has holes in it and sits in the sand, and
right,
it does need to be repaired if we're going to keep it.
Yep. So, and the other thing, we should put the cable car across to it, shouldn't we? That would work for us.
Well, Joe, we may have to feel differently about that.
I won't take much time, but the only last bit is a one-way street of Market Street. Make that one way up and the other way down Princess Street is the other way for the transport bit.
You're not the first to propose that,
okay,
but we'll see.
Joe, you might consider running for city council.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for your call, Joe.
If Laura Padgett would coach me, I might.
All right. Thanks so much
for
calling in. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Wilmington City Council person Laura Padgett, who is ending her fifth term on the Wilmington City Council. She's decided to move on and write the next chapter of her life. If you'd like to ask her a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send us an email at coastline@whqr.org. One of the issues, Laura, that Joe just brought up was the parking deck downtown. And once again, for those folks who haven't been following this closely, can you tell us which particular piece of property we're talking about and what's going to happen with it?
Well, if you drive all the way down to the river and turn around and look back up towards the city, you will see a double-layer eyesore, concrete with cars parked on it, and it served its purpose a long time ago. And it, as I say, it is an eyesore, and we do have a proposal after working through a process to replace that. It will be replaced with a very large, well-designed building that will take up all of the space between Grace Street and the Riverview Suites, which is the tall building that's currently there. It will have, let me see if I can get the numbers right, a good deal of retail around the first floor. There will be parking in the center of it. I think we're at about 400 cars right now, but that varies from time to time. And 210 apartments or condo units.
And there are some people like Joe and like residents of Old Wilmington, which is an organized group of homeowners in downtown Wilmington who really aren't super happy with this development.
Well, I think there are probably a number of people in the community that if they understood the size of it would have some concern. Now, do people want to see something there? Absolutely. The deck needs to come down and the right thing needs to be there. And this will transform Wilmington's downtown. It will bring people who will live there, who will have direct views of the river, and the general public is going to lose some of that access. So, you know, we do have a big park that we bought in the northern end up near the Isabel Holmes Bridge, and that has a lot of potential to be a wonderful place. It's not quite the same as keeping some park space closer to the heart of the historic part of downtown.
And was there ever talk about turning that area into green space?
There has been, and a lot of people in the public hoped that that would happen when we bought that space. And it's a bit controversial. We did use Parks bond money for that, and that will have to be reconciled in an accounting way. But I think it would have been appropriate to have some of it as park space. I had hoped for a small development that might have been built around a park space and public space. Of course, part of the site is blocked by the Hilton, so that's appropriate to put buildings facing the Hilton. But it would have been appropriate, in my opinion, to have more park space overlooking what is now the Hilton's parking lot.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Wilmington City Council member Laura Padgett, who is stepping down at the end of her fifth term. If you'd like to ask her a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And we have a question from Lori, who writes, several new grocery stores are finding their way to Wilmington. What can be done to entice at least one of them to locate in downtown Wilmington? What role can the city council play in making sure this area is not continuously overlooked by grocery stores? And she says, Lori says, wishing Laura all the best in her retirement.
Thank you. Yes, I've been reading about how many grocery stores are looking at the area, and maybe there will be enough that one of them will see fit to locate downtown. City Council has worked on this some in the past. Certainly, we've had some mayors that have been interested in it. The problem is that we don't control the private sector, and as long as the private sector looks at the northern end of downtown and sees the river on one side and relatively low average income levels on the rest of the semicircle, they're probably not going to locate a major full-service grocery store there. Now, there is development coming next to the Isabel Holmes Bridge, 300 apartments, the development on the parking deck site, the city apartments on 3rd Street. There is development that will increase the population density and probably up the average income. And at some point, that will make a grocery store not only possible but profitable and enticing to somebody.
Can you take a stab at the timeline on that?
You'll have to ask the people that are building them. Some things you have an intention and look like they're coming up right away, and 2 or 3 years later they're still not out of the ground. But I think most of those are going to happen fairly fast in the next 2 to 3 years, I'm guessing.
And you've been very involved over the years with the downtown area revitalization effort.
Yes.
That's been a big part of your wheelhouse in terms of the issues that you've worked on. So what are some of the big nuts? The grocery store is one that need to be cracked when it comes to really turning this into a vibrant, thriving destination downtown. What are some of the other things?
Well, I think we have to get a handle on our parking. I'll go directly to that contentious issue. When I look at cities and through the National League of Cities, I have had an opportunity to look and talk to other council members around the country. There are a lot of things that cities are doing that affect parking, and I hope that Wilmington in the future will take a modern look at that issue and not just continue to build parking in the same old-fashioned way. Various public transportation facilities can lessen the need for parking. I think that people don't come to a city because it has parking. They come for other reasons. We do have to find a place for their cars. But I think downtown needs to really look at what some other cities are doing with parking and not make it a centerpiece as much. So that's a nut to crack.
Talking about the design of parking facilities and the location of them? I mean, you mentioned public transit,
And the number of them, but all of those things play in it. Where the parking is, how people access it, how they get out of parking into where they're trying to get. I think there are plenty of opportunities for improvements in public transit access that can help that. I think we've always had beautification and cleanliness issues downtown, and we've made great strides in handling that. Staff have done a great job. Wilmington Downtown worked to get rid of the masses of periodicals and things like that that were ganged up on our corners, and that's brought under control. I think the trash and litter issues have been seriously addressed, and of course that's still there and needs to continue to be handled and improved, but we've done a great job, and I think downtown is so different. I became interested in downtown because I come from a city, Louisville, Kentucky, that has a very vital, active waterfront and has done a lot with it. But I used to work downtown before DARE even addressed what was going on downtown, and it was an ugly place. It bore no resemblance to what we have now. And it took private entities, private individuals under the leadership of Mayor Ben Halterman at the time to buy properties, see that they were resold to somebody that was going to make a good business out of them. And so it's been a process.
Do you think creating a municipal service district is part of what would help the downtown area?
I think that would help. Now, in Wilmington's case, the city has put an awful lot of money and assets into the downtown. We have a separate trash pickup system. We recycle the trash downtown. We have done a lot of things that other cities didn't do until they had a municipal service district. We can do more. We can really turn it into a more accessible place. And most people in the city know that I've spent a good many weeks in Baltimore and seeing what they've done with their riverfront, which is totally due to a municipal service district, and they've added a second municipal service district that does different things based on what those districts want, what the business owners and the residents want those districts to provide. So I think the time has come, and I hope that Ed Wolverton, and he's put a lot of hard work into this, can
the executive
can make
director
this happen.
Of Wilmington
yes,
Downtown.
Yes, he is the executive director. So, yes, I do think it's time.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with Wilmington City Councilperson Laura Padgett. If you'd like to ask her a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or send an email to coastline@whqr.org. And we have an email from Vivian who says, this is not a question for Laura, but a big thank you for the 20 years of dedication and hard work she has given to this wonderful city. What bigger sacrifice can one make than to offer precious years of their life to help improve the lives of their fellow citizens? Thank you so much for that email,
Thank
Vivian.
Thank you, Vivian. That's really sweet. I appreciate that.
And we had a caller a few minutes ago. We seem to have lost him, but Andy from Wilmington called and asked an interesting question. He says, are councilors, council members, trying to get to know foreign citizens of Wilmington? What do we know about people who have come here from other countries, that sector of the population?
We actually do make some effort at that, probably not what we could. At times we have had some active Sister City committee, and the Sister City Commission still exists.
And who is the Sister City?
It's a commission that is appointed by the city. People that don't live in the city, I believe, can serve on that commission. At times, we've had very strong relationships. Sister city activities are fairly expensive, and so when those have come under assault, particularly the one we had with Doncaster, England, their citizens became concerned that too much money was going into hosting visitors from other countries. I've always thought that there were good business opportunities, and we're lucky to have a group of people that have formed the Sister City Association and do work on that. The university, I think, is trying to build up its international population, and we do meet with members of their international community students about once a year when they bring them to City Council and the City Hall, and we sit down and have a chance to get to know them. So that's good. We don't do enough, but we do some.
You're listening to Coastline with Wilmington City Councilperson Laura Padgett. If you'd like to ask a question, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org. Catherine from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I'd like to ask a question about, I had heard there was a regulation downtown for just one bed and breakfast per block. And I'm wondering why that couldn't be enforced with bars, just have one per block. I do know that there is regulation in other cities that you need a permit, and there's a wait list for someone to die or transfer over a permit to start a bar. So I just wondered if they could be regulated like bed and breakfasts that I had heard.
Interesting question, Catherine.
Thank you. Yes, it is, and that is a concern downtown. We are not the final word on bars going downtown. We can weigh in, and through Councilmember O'Grady's work in his first term, we did work with the ABC Commission to put some standards in place that do limit the arrival of new bars, and that has begun to be effective. We're not seeing new bars opening as fast as we used to, and there now are some regulations on how many bars there can be per area. Now, I repeat, we're not the final say on that. So we could object because there are more bars than are in our standards, but the ABC could still issue the permit for another bar. But they have been very cooperative. And it's become a better working relationship than we've had in the past.
Between City Council and potential bar owners?
Potential bar owners, City Council, and the ABC. But it will take a long time for you to actually notice fewer bars on the street downtown.
You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. It's a conversation with longtime Wilmington City Council member Laura Padgett. We're about to go to a brief break. When we come back, we'll talk with Stephen from Holly Ridge. And we have one segment left for you to ask Laura Padgett a question or make a comment, 910-343-1138, or email us at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline.